Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Now, we've been in the Old Testament for years, but I have wanted to get in the New Testament for the Bible study for a book, and this is, I believe this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus. How we thank you for the salvation, the grace that's in him. And we pray for your blessing upon this time, that you would cause him to be revealed to the hearts of everyone here, according to your will. We ask that you would bless this study of your word for your glory and for our good. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. Grant us your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The church at Corinth. That's what I've entitled this, The Church at Corinth. Now, one of the things that's interesting about the Church at Corinth is we know more about the Church at Corinth than any of the other New Testament churches, because more is written about the Church at Corinth. Paul wrote 2 letters to the Church at Corinth. One was around 55 A.D., and probably the other one, the 2 Corinthians, was written in the same year. And he gives them in this opening paragraph some very high commendations. He calls them the faithful in Christ Jesus. He calls them sanctified in Christ Jesus. He says the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, and you came behind in no gift. I mean, he gave them some high commendations, and this tells us that this church is a true gospel church. Now, it's very important. This church was a true gospel church. But beginning in verse 10, he begins with all of these problems in the church of Corinth. And I'm going to ask you to look at these with me throughout these first 2 epistles. This church, while it was a true gospel church, it was a mess. It was a mess. It had all kinds of problems, all kinds of sinful problems within this church. I've had people leave here before because they thought there was too much sin in the church. I agree. Anybody going to deny that? Any sin's too much sin. Amen? Any sin. But this church was a true church, and it was just wrought with problems, inconsistencies, contradictions. Know anybody like that? Problems, contradictions, inconsistencies. Well, this church was certainly like that. And one of the things that I would like to state as clearly as I can, remember this. The church is a group of sinners saved by grace who are still sinners. That's just the truth. Look in verse 10 of this same chapter. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto of me, of you, my brethren, that of them which the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There are divisions. There are schisms. There are problems. Well, it was that way. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Look at the way Paul speaks to them. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." I couldn't even talk to you like you were believers. You're carnal, he says to these people. He says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men?" Don't you just act like a natural man and not the way this is in your midst? Look in chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, but with me," verse 3, "with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment." Now I can almost feel the pain in his voice when he says this. He says, it's a very small thing for me to be judged of you. They were judging him. And as a matter of fact, if you go on through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he goes back to this over and over and over again. They were sitting in judgment on the Apostle Paul. And that was very painful to him. Look in chapter 3, chapter 4. Look in verses 14 through 16 of this same chapter. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel." They were spiritually immature. They had plenty of instructors, but no one who showed any spiritual maturity. Look in verse 18 of this same chapter, chapter 4. "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you." He's talking about these church members. You're filled with pride. You have a self-inflated view of yourself. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. "It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." They had sexual sin going there, and shameful, scandalous sexual sin. There was an incestuous relationship going on. And he's confronting them about this. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints?" And you know what was happening at this time? They had people in the church taking other members of the church and suing them, going into litigation, taking them in to have them sued to try to get what they want. Now, what if I sued one of you all? What if one of you all sued me? You might be thinking about it. I've had people threaten it before, you know. But I really have. But the point is, what a lack of love at this time to have people bringing each other to law. That's what was going on in this church. You read chapter 7, it's all about marriage. Questions about marriage and divorce and so on. Everybody's always interested in that, but he deals with that in chapter 7 and some wrong views they had. And then in chapter 8, look at verse 1. I love this. Now remember, this is a true church we're talking about. He's talking about all these things that are taking place in this true church. Verse 1, now touching things offered unto idols. We know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity builds up, edifies. And if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But the point is, in chapter 8, he deals with when they would offer a sacrifice. Well, the animal would be left. You could eat it. If somebody offered up a cow, and what do you want? It was offered up to a false idol. Should we not eat the cow? Some people thought, no, you shouldn't do that. I mean, it was offered up to idols, and some saw that there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, steak's just as good in one offered to idol as one that wasn't. I mean, steak's good. Everybody likes steak. And some of the people who thought it was wrong, the people who didn't thought it was wrong belittled them and went ahead and did it anyway, not caring what they thought. He was talking about this lack of love through that. Chapter 9, they criticize Paul for holding a job, for not holding a job. He says in verse 4, have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord? Or I only in Barnabas, have we not power or the right to forbear working? They were criticizing Paul for not having a job. He gave himself to the ministry of the word, to preaching, to traveling. And they're saying he ought to have a job. And as a matter of fact, he goes on to say, I didn't take anything from you. Forgive me this wrong. He said that in the next book. He was, I wouldn't take a thing from you. Forgive me for this wrong. In chapter 10, look at beginning in verse 6. Now these things are our examples to the tent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted but were destroyed of the destroyers. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Destroyed of serpents in the one and then destroyed of the story. But the point is, this characterized this church. These things that he is rebuking them about, that the saints in the Old Testament did, he said, you guys are doing it too. Chapter 11 speaks of the abuse of the Lord's table. They actually had people meeting together to observe the Lord's table, and some were getting drunk, and some were overeating. And there was a separation between the rich and the poor in the eating of the Lord's table. They separated themselves. And he said, this is shameful activity. This is wrong as it can be. And chapters 12 through 14 deal with spiritual gifts. And in this church, there was the horrible abuse of spiritual gifts. They did have these gifts. There were people who could speak in other languages and so on. And instead of using it to preach the gospel, they used it to show off how gifted they were. They started speaking in other languages to other people. And Paul rebukes them for this. In chapter 15, look what they had. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you in this church that there's no resurrection of the dead? Where are you getting off on that? But they had people that were actually teaching that. And this gives us some idea of the enormity of the terrible things that were going on in this church. And 2 Corinthians is just a continuation of it. Look in chapter 1, verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me should be yea or nay? Now he's answering an accusation against him. They say he's just fleshly. He's doing things in a fleshly way, and he's a yea, nay man, yes and no to the same thing. He's answering this objection. He's saying, no, I'm not like this. Remember when I was talking about the sexual immorality? Well, this letter was written in the same year, probably, maybe just a couple of months later. And the person he rebuked for this immorality, the church all of a sudden becomes too hard on him. For out of much, look in verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you should know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he's not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. So the contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. They were being, all of a sudden they became these judges and became very hard on this man for what he'd done. And he was rebuking him for this. Look in chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Do we need to have commendation? And what it is, they were saying, Paul doesn't have the right credentials. What makes him think he ought to be apostle? He doesn't have the right credentials. And he's saying, you shouldn't be treating me this way. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same I speak as in you as my children, be ye also enlarged. Quit being so narrow-hearted. Receive me, is what he's saying. Receive me. Quit holding me off. Receive me. Receive what I'm saying. Look in verse 14 of this same chapter. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They had people doing that. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You see, they were joining in. They were accepting these things. And Paul is rebuking them for this. This is what was going on in this church. Look in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. He says, receive us. We've wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. We've defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for if I said before, you're in our hearts to die and live with you. They were accusing Paul of these things. And he said, don't do that. Chapters 8 and 9, he deals with the subject of giving. And they were not a generous church, and he rebukes them about this, and he says, I wouldn't even take, you all didn't support me, and he rebukes them about this on down. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another one of their accusations against the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. And here's what people were accusing of. Look in verse 2, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. They were accusing Paul of walking after the flesh. And here Paul is the man God raised up to preach the gospel, and they were constantly calling him into question. You can look in chapter 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. And the folly he's speaking of is when he starts commending himself. And he says, I've got to do this. You ought to be commending me, but instead you're judging me. And he's telling these people this is wrong. And this is where he calls this folly. I'm going to start talking about how much the Lord has used me and what he's used me for. And I realize this is folly for me to do this. And he spends so much time doing that in this book. Look in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 11. I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we've been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Verses 16 through 18. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, ye as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I glory also. You see the way he's dealing with this. Look in chapter 12, verse 11. I'm become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I'll not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you, for the children ought not be saving up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I'll be very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Look in chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. This is who he's talking to, these people who are examining me. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Look in verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Now, this was a true church. I've read all these passages of Scripture so we could see all the problems going on in this church. And it had them, didn't it? This was a true church, sanctified in Jesus Christ, faithful and gifted by God. But it is what every other local church is. A company of sinners saved by grace who are still sinners. And if that fact concerning me has escaped me, I'm in trouble. And if that fact concerning you has escaped you, you're in trouble. Now that is the state of this church. Now, when, and this is the question that I thought in looking at this church that had so many troubles. I've had people ask or leave because of what's going on in the church. Somebody says, what's going on? I don't know. I'm not even talking about us personally. I'm talking about all churches, just like the church of Corinth. I'm going to leave. Too much sin there. You ought to feel real comfortable there if that's the case. In reality, you ought to feel just at home there. I thought somebody says there's too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you fit in right well then. I mean, you do real well there. It's just the church is a company. This is not making any sin okay under any circumstance. It's not excusing sin, but remember, the church is a company of sinners saved by grace. Now, when is it time to leave a church? There's only one reason to leave a church, because the gospel's not preached. That's the only reason. And if the gospel's not preached, it's not a church anyway, is it? It's ceased being a church. There are so many religious institutions where maybe the gospel was once preached, but it left. A local church never continues. It left. And now you have just the machinery going on without the Spirit of God. When is the time to leave a church? Only when the gospel is not preached. Which makes us think about this. If that's the case, I better know what the gospel is, who the gospel is, so I can know if I'm hearing the gospel or if I'm not hearing the gospel. That the issue is always, what is the gospel? And you know, Paul answers that so eloquently in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he says the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And this is so important. Somebody says, well, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. No, it didn't. Somebody's misquoting a verse and leaving out that which is vital. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to see this with me. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Definite article. The gospel. It's the same gospel I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. You can't preach the gospel without preaching on how that Christ died for our sins according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Now I could go to so many different examples in the Old Testament, but the first thing that comes to my mind is the Passover. You remember how that spotless lamb, the lamb without blemish, was to be slain, the blood put over the door. You got in the house with the blood over the door. Now, if you got outside of the house, what happened? You'd be put to death. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What did God say he was looking for? The blood. He didn't say, when I see your good works. He didn't say, when I see your sincerity. He didn't say, when I see your faith. He didn't say, when I see your remorse over your sin. He didn't say, when I see your effort at fighting sin. All those things are good. I'm not saying they're not. But what did he say? When I see the blood. Not when I see anything about you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now here's the big question that I think will deal with Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures. Let's say somebody in one of those houses that very day, they committed some horrible sin. Maybe murder. Maybe some horrible sexual sin. Something just unclean and dark. Wicked. That very day, they committed a horrible sin. And then they go into that house with the blood over the door. Here's my one question. Were they safe? Absolutely. Completely. Positively. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you are in the house with the blood over the door, you're secure. You're safe. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I've often thought about how I would have felt. There are different people. I bet old Moses, when he was in the house with the blood over the door, I doubt that he had any fear. I'm safe. I guarantee you somebody else was trembling. Was he safe? Yeah. He was just safe as Moses was. Whatever he felt, he was just as safe as Moses was, because the acceptance is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, being found in him. So that's the church of Corinth was a mess. The church of Corinth was perfect in Christ Jesus, without fault, without wrinkle, without sin, without holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Now that's the church today. You find a group of people, you're going to find sinners. Well, they ought not sin. I agree. They ought not. But you're going to have a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God who are still sinners. That's true of me. That's true of you. But what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in the house with the blood over the door. To be in Christ. So you pray for me. Pray that the Lord will bless this study of 1 Corinthians. There's a lot in it. And I pray the Lord will bless it to our hearts. Okay.